Hey guys, it's me, Dave, here to tell you about AdamandEve.com. At this point, you should already know what Adam and Eve is all about. The romance stuff. The adult stuff. Novelties, toys, gear, romance enhancers, marital supplies, all kinds of good stuff like that. I look at romance and loving the same way I look at a natural disaster. You never know when it's going to strike. So you got to be prepared. You got to be stocked up. It's an earthquake of loving coming your way. You got no warning. You got no advance notice. You got to be prepared. You can do so by going to AdamandEve.com right now to get 50% off almost any item on the website. When you select your one item at 50% off, you're also going to get 3 free adult DVDs plus a free mystery gift. Lord knows what that could be. Plus, they're going to throw in some free shipping. So be prepared. Don't get caught with your pants down. Well, okay, yes and no, depending on which analogy you're following here. But you got to be stocked up, okay? You don't want to be caught off guard when either an earthquake or some loving comes your way. So get stocked up at AdamandEve.com right now. Use code BOOGIE at checkout. That's B-O-O-G-I-E, code BOOGIE, AdamandEve.com. Be prepared, guys. All right.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Yeah, I was supposed to get a satanic Bible from Panpipes. It's like the witch store down in Hollywood.
Panpipes.
It's called Panpipes.
Sounds like a motorcycle supply joint.
Pans and pipes
mm-hmm.
would be panpipes. I don't know what it is, but I went in there and there's a obligatorily looking witch lady.
Really?
And I was asking for satanic Bible, and she didn't have one. And I bought this other book too, and she's like, "Yeah, these all came from one guy. He went to prison, so he gave us all his books." I'm like, "Oh, is that weird to get? Is there going to be energy on these books?"
Could be.
Like, what do you go to prison for? And she didn't tell me any of that. She's like, "No, these books are clean." Like, did you check them or are you just playing the part?
Sounds like the beginning of a teen slasher film.
Yeah, like they say Ouija boards, you know? Mm-hmm. People get creeped out on the Ouijas.
You ever done that? You ever play with a Ouija board?
When I was a kid.
I don't think I have.
I mean, who are you doing with? It's always just somebody's going to move it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, "Fuck you." And fuck you. It's like ends like Monopoly, but sooner.
Yeah.
You're cheating. I'm not cheating. Fuck this. Let's go outside.
How'd you spend your time as a kid recreationally? Were you an inside kid or an outside kid?
Outside kid.
Mm-hmm.
Not athletic, but outside.
Doing what?
A lot of playing army, building forts.
Building forts.
Riding bikes.
Yep.
Yeah, getting real dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like on purpose. I remember there was this kind of open field that just, it was clay or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd just sit in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Just sat in it.
Oh, yeah. I was prone to just dig a hole and then sit in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. These were like pits of like wet clay. We'd start off throwing at each other and you'd be covered. Like, we may as well just sit in this stuff.
I loved building forts.
Yeah. Snow forts. The only time I enjoyed winter as a kid. I hate winter.
Yeah.
I don't want to snowboard. I don't want to ski. Well, snowmobiling was pretty fun. I did that on my birthday last year. But snowboarding, I don't want to do that.
One time I built a fort and I said I was going to run away from home. Not necessarily run away, but I'm just going to move out. Like, I'm going to live back there in the yard.
Got my own place, Mom and Dad.
And I was going to plant an apple tree, and that's what I was going to eat. I was just going to eat apples.
That's got some foresight. I didn't even think about the food part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was already planning food.
I thought I could just be able to come home for dinner and then be like, I'm going to run away again.
No, I was cutting all ties. But building forts, bike ramps. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Building bike
cinder
ramps.
Cinder blocks and found pieces of wood.
Man. A couple trips to the ER.
Yeah?
Me and my brother. One time, my brother busted his chin completely up. You could see the bones sticking out.
Because
we built a ramp that was like 90-degree angle.
Yeah,
and he just went, oh, whoop. Boom! And just smashed his chin on the bar of his bike.
Yeah. No concept of physics as a child.
Mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm.
I think I went to the emergency room once.
Oh, yeah?
Gas. I gas real bad.
Really? You can go to the ER for that?
Because I didn't know what it was, and my insides hurt so bad. And I'd never had that. Like, now I know what it is. You ever have it where it's just stuck inside of you? Like, it's in a place...
I get it out of there.
That it should... But, like, sometimes you just can't.
I evacuate.
No, I'm, like, saying, like, it's in by your ribs and stuff.
Nah, I never had that problem.
You never had?
Just toot it out, dude.
No, man. I would get it where it'd be, like, up in my chest. It'd be, like, just my whole body cavity would be a fart. And I could, like... And it would hurt. I didn't know what it was. So I thought, you know, I was in so much pain. My mom's like, all right, that's real. We'll go to the emergency room. But everything else, I never went. I should have gotten stitches a few times. I saw my kneecap and I was like, no, stop crying.
I'll tell you about the time I got a big cut on my knee and dog shit got in there and it got really infected.
Oh, God.
Got dog shit knee.
God damn it, man.
Yeah. Ugh. That was rough. Like seventh grade.
What happened?
Just out playing in the yard, and I playing baseball or something. I dove for a ball. I was wearing shorts, and I busted my knee on a rock. And then, like, the next day, same thing, sliding around, roughhousing, horse playing. Got some dog shit in there, you know? God. Who amongst us hadn't got dog shit inside of a wound?
A lot of us.
A lot of us. That was pretty common. But yeah, my knee turned all green and purple and had to go to a doctor. And
blah, he put not, all kind not of, bruised, oh, yeah. but just
Yeah, just infected.
Infected.
Just pus.
Just gangrene.
Old dog shit knee.
Well, it's the Boogie Monster with Colin.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to introduce last week's episode.
Uh-huh. So they so probably...
They had no idea. They didn't know what they listened to. Who are these two assholes? We'll never know.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right.
Did you have a good night last night?
I got into it.
Yeah,
I had shows.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Not good. I forgot to eat all day. I had a jar of salsa. That's what I ate.
Here's a question.
I'm embarrassed.
I'm sorry. I skipped over that. You had a jar of salsa.
That's what I ate.
Just a jar
chips.
Of salsa?
I had chips.
Chips and salsa.
But
did you see it with a spoon?
That's what I ate. I think, like, honestly, like, how is that not gazpacho?
It's true. You throw some little shrimp in there, you could have some ceviche.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't discredit it as a meal or how could you eat the whole thing? It was a little jar. Mm. But that's all I ate. And then I was drinking whiskey and I was just off my game. And then I got stoned after my first set. And once a year I get stoned and do comedy.
Ugh.
And there's a reason, because it takes me a whole year to forget what a bad idea that is.
I can't do it. I cannot do it.
I'm
just a zombie up there.
I've seen dudes who just like will just rip a bowl right before they go on stage.
Oh, we know guys that have rarely done comedy not high.
I'm envious of that.
Me too.
I'm envious of that skill.
I don't know how they do it.
No.
But let me ask you. All right.
I feel like a fraud. As soon as I start launching into a bit, I'm like, you already thought this thought. It's not new. And then I hate my jokes.
What do you mean? That's what comedy is, though.
Yeah, but when I'm stoned, I'm just like, this is dumb.
You can't sell it like...
Yeah, I'm like, this is a thought I've already thought. I'm just asking you to like it, too.
Huh.
Somebody already liked it. I wrote it down. Have a different thought. And that's why I can't do jokes when I'm stoned.
Yeah. I don't have that problem. I just have the... there's a 7-second delay between my brain and my mouth. You know, I'll think something, and then it'll be 7 Mississippi... And then I'll start to say it, and by the time I start to say it, I've already forgotten what it was I thought.
I get real upset with how quickly I forget stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I came and I was drunk at the bar, and I apparently was tweeting from the Boogie Monster account.
Yeah. I got it this morning. I had like 50 notifications on that account.
Whoops. One of those was just a text to you about which UFO movie we're supposed to watch.
What's the name of the stupid movie you wanted me to watch?
For today.
And that's funny. Did you really think you were texting me?
I think I was just in that. I'm like, Dave will read this. I don't want to go out and message.
Dave will read this. But let me ask you. All right, last night you got into it. When you get into it, when you have one of those nights, is it – because I do this sometimes. I'm half and half. Sometimes it's like, oops, that happened. And then sometimes it's like, crack your knuckles, I'm getting into it tonight. Was this a conscientious – like decision to like I'm gonna get into it, or did it just sort of happen?
No, I mean, I on purpose took a flask of whiskey out with me.
Okay, that's incriminating.
But not to like get as loose as I got. I think I got loose in that. I had a couple weeks ago where I did a show, and I was like, I wanted to be just a madman of comedy. Like, I wanted to be a lunatic. It was like some rooftop show.
Right.
In Silver Lake. Did I talk about that one?
A little bit.
I talked about
it. You didn't go into detail, though. Feel free.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, comedy needs to be dangerous again. So I was like dancing by the edge of this rooftop and shaking the guy's railing, and the owner of the house was like, please don't do that. I'm like, it's got to be dangerous again.
Comedy needs to be dangerous.
Trying to be the Evel Knievel of comedy.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of? Remember years ago, it was before I even moved out here, we had just started being friends when I was in Atlanta. You came and did some shows in Atlanta, and then at Star Bar, you stayed over through the weekend. On Monday night, you did Star Bar, and you did the whole set. Like, your tag, your running tag throughout the set was, bad boy! You were doing bad boy comedy. You'd do a joke, and then you'd yell, bad boy! Because we had a bunch of bad boy comics in Atlanta at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you were just tagging everything with, bad boy!
What was it? It was like, what was the scene? It wasn't... Everybody's real funny.
Oh, yeah, everybody's funny, but there was definitely a sense of like, oh, we're swinging our dicks around. Like, we're doing this shit. You know, it was like me, Andy Sanford.
A lot of swagger in that scene. A
lot of swagger.
Deservedly
back then.
So.
Yeah, me, Andy Sanford, Paul Gawa, Keenan Burton. Just a lot of dudes that just going up there being funny as shit, but with a real subtle air of like, yeah, dude, I'm doing this shit.
Well, at Star Bar, you don't walk out of that place sober.
Bad boy.
Old Rodney got me all loaded up. I wonder if that was the same night. Shit, that was like, it was a Memorial Day?
Probably.
It was something where the Monday was a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And then who was the guy who ran the sound? Never talked. Long haired dude. Looked like.
Long beard?
Yeah, yeah.
Jet. Long ass beard.
Well, I've been there a couple of. Like, that guy never said anything?
In a band called Bigfoot.
Really?
Yeah, it's got a band called Bigfoot.
It's all coming together. Because they did karaoke afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard the song American Trilogy by Elvis. And that guy wasn't saying anything the whole night, wouldn't comment behind the DJ booth.
Yeah.
Came out and belted that shit standing on a table.
Yep.
And I thought I saw Jesus. Like, that was a moment where I'm like, I've never felt so much about, like, Jesus and America and everything. And I was like, motherfucker, this is an epiphany. Because that dude just majestic. With his foot, one foot on a chair and the other one up on the table.
Yeah.
Singing American Trilogy by Elvis.
Yeah.
Ooh,
Star Bar is a special place.
I had a moment.
Yeah. Between him, Rodney running the show, affectionately labeled Fat Tara one time.
That's a good pun.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then, I don't know if you remember the badass bouncer, Joe, my buddy Joe, who's just a brick shit house, quiet, intimidating dude, but like, he is the problem solver of Star Bar. He was in the French Foreign Legion, just one of those guys who's like got a legend around him. It's like, oh, you don't fuck with Joe. But like, with Joe, Jet, Rodney, that just creates this environment at Star Bar of like, oh yeah, this is some real shit.
Oh man. If you're down there in a little 5 points, I'm sure we'll wind up there during Red Clay.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was where that's where the sunflower joke it came, or the
right.
Or I gotta take
this call.
That was one of those nights.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, yeah, I gotta take this phone call.
Just sunflower a whole bar,
and then held my phone. I made it outside on that one. The sunflower is from a New Year's Eve, but that when I was there, that was like, yeah. And I went outside and still went through like follow through. Do the and I put my phone up to my ear and just barfed.
Oh,
I still wanted to pretend like I was on a phone call. I'm like, I gotta take this call. And threw up holding my phone to my head.
Ironically, I do the exact same technique during a public urination. I've talked to you about how my ninja piss. Well, I pee outdoors all the time now.
Yeah, we know.
And, yeah, but like that's a great decoy. You pull your dick out real quick, and then you take a phone call, and you just pee. And you know, no one's even thinking like, oh, that guy's peeing. They're like, oh, that's just a dude on his phone.
Well, I mean, if your dick's out, there's pee coming out of it. There's no reason to look below his waist. He's clearly on the phone.
Exactly. It's a decoy. It's like, hey, don't look over here. Look over here.
That's a shitty decoy. Whoa, is that guy on his phone?
Sometimes I'll pop my hood and pretend to be working on the car.
You told me about that.
Then you got to pee all over your front bumper.
Can't you just pee?
I don't have my own toilet.
I mean, I know that.
Mm-hmm. I got to make do.
Well aware.
Yeah, and I'm trying to stay hydrated now. I'm drinking a lot of water. Well, I can't be running into Albertsons 10 times a day.
Just go behind a tree. What come up with these ruses?
What fun is that?
It's a lot of fun. You're still peeing outdoors in the public like a goddamn animal.
It's fun, though. It's my little ha-ha to society.
Yeah, yeah, it's you laughing at society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, look at that guy.
Gotcha.
Who's got to use the bathroom outside. Boy, he's got one up on us.
So you got into it last night.
Yeah.
And not a good set. So
the second show I had, I was stoned and knew, like, how often do you have shows where it's not good, but you're like, I'm having fun not doing my jokes and therefore not expecting it to go well? It was indulgent, I admit.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. The difference.
It was an indulgent show for myself.
And not to be too inside baseball for those people listening who aren't comedians, but, like, there's a difference. All right, last night, you're doing spots. You're doing sets. You're doing spots.
Yeah, it's practice.
There's a difference. I think you can get away with that when you're just doing a 10-minute spot that you're not getting paid for. People aren't necessarily coming to see you.
Oh, people
that's
paid,
different than if we're
paid to go to the show.
Yeah, we're paying $25 to go see Kyle Kinane. That's a different thing.
Or if it's at the Improv where people still pay the ticket price to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was
– so
it's still indulgent to just be a fucking buffoon up there when you try to be Rory Scovel and you realize there's no way you can be Rory Scovel.
Yeah, he gets
I'll
away
be
with
whimsical
it.
And improvised, and people are just staring at you like, get your life together.
I'm so jealous of guys like that. It's like, you bastard. Like, people like him, and Galifianakis has some of that of like, I'm just gonna go up and be weird, and but like, not to my, like, they're great at it.
No,
but I can't pull that off.
You it's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't found that one after 40 years.
Yeah. Me neither.
What happened to you?
Oh, man. I saw a rat last night the size of a damn bunny.
See, you said that. That's the size of rats.
No. No, a rat and a bunny are two different sizes, Kyle. All right? Unless it's a really small rat.
City
rat. I mean, unless it's a really small bunny and a really big rat. This fucking rat weighed 8 pounds, and I saw its balls. I saw a rat's balls.
Feel like...
Dude, I saw a – when's the last time you seen a rat's testicles?
Never.
That's how
never
big this rat seen. Was. He had big old balls at the 7-Eleven just hanging out.
Having a Slurpee?
No, he was like, outside.
This is like your shitty version of Werewolves of London. It's just rats at the 7-Eleven.
Dude, this rat scared the hell out of me.
Saw a rat having a Cherry Coke Slurpee at 7-Eleven.
Oh, man.
His balls were perfect.
I've never seen a rat's balls till last night, and it's changed me.
Bigger than a rat's balls. That's a new phrase.
I'm a changed man.
It's got to be weird having balls and being a four-legged creature that close to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like at some point, you'd be like, ah, these balls.
Getting in the way.
Yeah. Get out of here, balls.
Where's Bob Barker when you need him?
Remember to neuter your stray rats.
But yeah, man, this rat... I don't know, dude. Seriously, this was an 8-pound rat. This thing was huge.
Yeah.
Like, it could have fed a family of four had I... It
might be right
now. Yeah. Big old rat, big old balls. Just caught me off guard. And I don't like rats. We've talked about that. But outdoors, I don't mind them. Outdoors,
as
I'm fine.
Pet, you don't like them.
But
saw a
indoors,
video.
Indoors.
I saw a video where there's some abandoned kittens, and they paired them up with rats, and they became great friends.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those videos going around of like, this dog and this goose are best
friends. Yeah, I was doing a joke about that.
Oh, really?
Series.
Oh, okay. But I feel like we're projecting. I feel like if you ask the animal, they're like, I hate this fucking guy.
No, that was the whole joke is like, I think they had like 5 minutes of that cheetah and that Labrador, and then they pitched it, and the producers were like, great, 10 episodes. And they were like, oh, no. And so then they just kind of were trying to force some friendships.
Yeah.
Like, by episode 2, there was like, can you believe this cobra and this chinchilla are such... Oh, cut the tape!
Oh, my God!
Cut the tape! I won't do the whole joke. It still might live in the set. But, yeah, it was like the whole thing. But then again, because, like, by the 4th episode, the unlikely animal friend is a person and a miniature horse. Because she's blind and the miniature horse is her seeing eye animal. Because she couldn't have a dog because she's Muslim. The Muslim faith, I guess, the saliva of a dog is unclean.
Is that really?
Yeah, that's what I was like.
But the saliva of a horse is fine?
Well, that was my whole thing, is that the God that made you blind also won't let you have the one animal who wants the job of taking care of blind people. But the loophole you found is the human-made abomination of a miniature horse.
Wow.
Like that man tampered with God's creation, and therefore it's no longer God's creation, so you could take this little tiny shit factory around with you. You walk through Walmart with this thing, a fucking garbage bag stapled to its ass. But God forbid you get a golden retriever who just wants to be obedient and help and be your friend.
Yeah. Man, you know what I would love? I'd like one of these crazy-ass punk rock goats. You seen these crazy punk goats?
They're all just wiling out?
Yeah, just doing the parkour. What do you call it, parkour?
Yeah.
Just jumping off of logs.
What's wrong with those goats?
I don't know, but I like them. I'm going to get me a little goat ride shotgun in the van.
I just love the idea of you in a van with a goat.
Yeah.
You can't stop kicking shit.
Yeah, just constantly banging, breaking windows.
It's a bad idea.
I love those little bastards, though. Little pygmy goats that just run around flipping.
Goats are pretty fun.
Yeah.
Goats are pretty fun. They're friendly.
Are they?
Yeah. Or at least, I mean, I met some goats once, and those goats were friendly, so I'm basing my idea on goats.
Well, that's your only point of reference, so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The goats I met were friendly.
But yeah, I'm thinking about getting a little pygmy goat.
Speaking of goats, let's talk about cattle mutilations.
Okay.
I didn't know how to alley-oop into the thing. Yeah?
Ah, sorry.
Yeah?
Got into the Jim Beam today.
Taste buds? You making love with your taste buds?
Yeah, I brought over some Jim Beam. You know it's going to be a good one when I bring the liquor.
You brought the booze over.
Usually it's like whatever we can find in your cabinet, but it's like, nope.
Ugh, I just texted Ray. I'm like, I'm not drinking tonight. Got into it last night.
Now look at you. Fucking, what do you drink? You drinking the same thing?
Yeah, coffee mug of Beam.
Coffee mug.
I mean, it's got ice in it. I like a coffee mug. I like the handle.
Yeah. I don't drink coffee, so I rarely get to utilize the actual coffee mug.
It's great for cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
It's thick, meant to keep the hot things hot, maybe the cold things cold.
Like a McDLT.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
A little special packaging.
Yeah, and a lot of elaborate bullshit over there.
Mm-hmm. This side's hot, that side's cold. Put them together and have some fun.
It's like, why don't you do it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, I'm going to eat this in 4 hours? It's McDonald's. You're lucky I want this now.
Ooh.
If I thought about it, I'd never eat the shit. Just slap it together.
Oh, speaking of which, before we get into the topic,
all right,
have I told you what happened this week in the world of Del Taco?
Oh yeah, give me the news.
They finally crumbled to my demands. I've been writing letters about once
been
a month.
Protesting, yeah. Had a sign out in front.
Got some new menu item at Del Taco, queso blanco,
dipping cheese,
loosely translated.
Cheese what for dipping?
Cheese what for dipping? Yeah, man, the white cheese sauce and you know some tortilla chips, and this was the hardest cultural transition when I moved out here. I thought I was moving to the land of the Mexican people.
Yeah,
the land of milk and honey and burritos.
Yeah,
and oh boy, was I disappointed to find out that cheese dip. Not a thing out here in Los Angeles.
Not real.
In the South, where I'm from, my version of Mexican food always included white cheese dip, sometimes with jalapenos.
Yeah.
A lot of times you go to a Mexican restaurant in the South, and they just, you know, and it's not the, and even having no point of reference at the time, I was like, I'm sure this isn't very authentic, but like just the $8 combo platter, pick two of these entrees, rice and beans. Such a great meal. And out here, there's not many actual Mexican restaurants. It's all taco trucks and burrito trucks and little bitty shacks.
Yeah.
Good luck finding some queso dip out here because it's a very gringo approach. And that was always my favorite part
of
a Mexican meal.
You make it yourself? Put the cheese in with the salsa and just heat it up?
Yeah, you know, but no.
I love that stuff.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, I love the white cheese. Yeah, add a little milk. You can throw in some salsa. But just at a restaurant, I like to just sit down with a bag of free chips, the basket of chips, order the $4 big bowl of queso dip, and doesn't exist out here until now.
You can, buddy.
until now, man. So yeah, I just had to get that off.
Got it too.
Had to get the, well, there's his Bundino? Orange. There's his orange.
Oh,
they got an orange.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah, I like the white.
Sorry.
Yeah, the Chihuahua cheese, Chihuahua and Monterey Jack. They're throwing in a little cheddar, doing something. I don't know what they're doing over there at Chipotle. I like Chipotle, not to shit on them, but yeah, Del Taco finally has queso blanco, and yeah, so just wanted to relay
well,
that to you.
Well, I'm a Del Taco guy, so I'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of Del Taco, yeah, cattle mutilations.
Oh man. Yeah, this is an interesting topic that we're going to get in today. Kyle read him a book.
I read a whole book.
Kyle read a whole book, not even a lot of pictures.
Yeah, you watched a whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we both did. God forbid we do a little fucking research for this show.
Yeah.
Look at us pulling our brains out of our asses,
mm-hmm. Well,
finally.
Yeah. What book did you read, Kyle?
I read The 37th Parallel, The Secret Truth Behind America's UFO Highway by Ben Mezrich. And it's about, it's mostly, now this, the author, I guess say the author, he's written The Accidental Billionaires, which became the Social Network movie, and Bringing Down the House, which became the movie 21.
Mm-hmm. About the Harvard kids counting cards.
Yeah. So this is clearly like, it seems like more of a, like a story of Chuck Zukowski.
Okay. Who is he?
Chuck is a avid UFO hunter, really, you know, saw something as a youth and it just kind of consumed him to the point where, like, he was loading up his family in an RV every weekend. Like, it really took over his life. He moved from California to Colorado to research UFOs even more, move his family out there, became a volunteer sheriff because he knew he would be able to get on the scene quicker when a lot of these cattle mutilations, like, that's where a lot of them were happening. So this book, it's a lot about his life, but it's also how it crosses paths with Bigelow, Robert Bigelow.
Who we've talked about.
Yeah, who bought Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
And Bigelow is one of these, you know, independently wealthy. We talked about him before, so if mm-hmm. you want to go back, I don't remember which episode, but made his money in real estate and budget motel was his thing. But he's like, Elon Musk is trying to fund his own race to space. You know, he developed expandable space pods that could attach to the space station. So he has had some success with NASA and selling concepts to them. But he is a firm believer in UFOs and everything. But now it sounds basically like this, because now Chuck's like trying to get in by his compound. He's like, Bigelow's kind of running things like an Area 51 of his own. Now, is that top secret corporate stuff? Or is it that he's got different designs for what kind of things they're discovering with the possibility of UFOs? In this, he was Zukowski was on an architectural dig, and they found something outside of Area 51. He was asking, you know, given the time of the crash, how far and winds and things like that, where would any debris where it's allegedly crashed be now?
Mm-hmm.
So he did this small architectural dig. He found some very tiny scrap of material. And we were talking about this on the other one, and he had it analyzed, and it was earthly elements, like I think it was silicon and something else, but it wasn't of a material that anybody's made, that anybody's used, that's not think it's got elements. It's got earthenly elements, or worldly elements, I should say. But they said it would kind of look like almost like a thin piece of foil, but would fold up when you touch it, curl up when you touch it.
And he found this on an archaeological dig?
He did an archaeological dig right outside of Roswell.
Yeah, you do. Okay.
Where that's, I think I said Air 51.
You said Air 51.
Yeah, sorry, wrong. Right outside of Roswell.
Okay.
Where stuff may have, if there's any debris left over, where it may have blown over to and be nowadays.
You know, gotcha.
70 years later, or at the time, 60 years later. So he had it tested, and, you know, then he's getting, you know, got a phone call from, or an email from the Bigelow Industries. Like, we're curious. You know, we know you need funding. He's working with MUFON, which is
Mutual UFO Network something.
Yeah, something about UFOs. But that, like, his complaint with that is that they all have, it's a group of people compiling reports, but there's no actual scientists or no real experts looking into these reports. So they're just compiling a bunch of stuff, sharing stories, and no experts looking into it. He was trying to gain the science and learn to, like, oh, let's investigate these experiences without just diagnosing. Oh, saw three lights, and let's go over what it could be. Let's look at the science of it. And that's where Bigelow's coming in, too. But now it's like, the way this book paints it out is like that maybe Bigelow is up to something sinister because his sister was researching with him and she was getting followed around now by black SUVs.
Really?
Is that the government trying to scare him and keep him away from stuff? Or is that Bigelow Industries saying, don't, you know, listen, we're doing this. This is our department to find out about UFOs. Don't go, you know, blowing the lid off our case. And he was researching a lot of the cattle mutilations, which are all very strange. Like, again, incisions, like bloodless cattle all over the place. No tracks or anything around them. That, like, either the whatever the surgery was took place somewhere else and they dropped it there. So they had strange, very precise wounds that were
like
not
laser precision.
Yeah, laser precision type wounds where they would cut out the sex organs and other areas. And it's a good book. It is written definitely with you know, it is not editorialized. It's very it's sweetened up by the author. You know, but that's what you do to make not make a dry book. You got to you know, put a little bit of story into it.
So, and then the 37th parallel, like a lot of this, a lot of weird shit, a lot of different stuff happening all across the, at least within the boundaries of the United States.
Yeah, you can
from coast
see
to coast.
You can see on the cover of the book.
So we got cattle mutilations along here. We got UFO sightings. What else do we have?
This is where, like, I'm wondering how much this part got a little, like, assembled towards the end. Because then, not to give you the blow the book, but I shouldn't. You should, it's a good read if you like this kind of stuff. It's also a good read. It's not dry. It's written by an author. So it's a good, it's not just some.
Yeah, it's not just some
dweeb.
Textbook.
Yeah. Obviously, life exists because of this. Like, no, it's written by a guy who knows how to keep
it. But if you look at it on the map, 37th parallel.
But he had stuff all over the place. But then he's like, well, these are only the ones that he can confirm. Like, there was multiple witnesses. So he had many stipulations for why these should remain. Like, the, and he had, like, a map with pushpins in it. So he took them all out and only put the pushpins in where there's multiple multiple witnesses, stuff that he can confirm, you know, like that he went and saw.
But if you look at it geographically, in that 37th parallel, Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Maybe Area 51.
No, Washington, D.C. is up here.
Well, okay, so not exactly. And I'm just spitballing here. What about Area 51?
Is
kind of close. What about?
That's further up. In
okay. What about Denver International Airport?
That's up there.
Okay, but yeah, kind of those, close. Kind of close.
Well, no, no,
give or take 100 miles.
No, it's a lot. That's in the middle of Colorado. That's up here.
It's close enough from for me to squeeze a point.
Well,
out of
all
this
right
statement.
For you. All right, if you want to make it work, then all right.
Yeah.
Mount Rushmore, Disneyland, it's all close. If you're,
I mean, it runs through all of America.
Everything's beachfront property if you don't mind a commute. Be a great real estate agent. But also the 37th parallel.
But
is
it
also,
does run through Roswell, correct? Or close
that
to
Roswell is that red dot.
Yeah,
I'm,
very
I'm,
close.
I'm
okay.
pointing to Dave, the cover of the book that we're using as an actual research map. we're using as a this is a real map, the one they put on the front with the cool font. But it's also the line that divides Utah and Arizona, Colorado. Like, if you're trying to imagine what the 37th parallel is, it's a convenient dividing line for many states. It starts on the east coast between Virginia and North Carolina. It divides Kentucky and Tennessee. Sort of it jogs down a bit before Missouri and Arkansas. I'm going right through this stretch. And then Kansas and Oklahoma. Yeah, so that's the dividing. And there's a lot of military bases that coincide with that. And I don't know. I just think, like, it did have me think, like, oh, there's definitely, it's real. Like, what's UFOs are real. I've already believed that. But if I'm to believe this book and the stuff that how close he was getting with information, the closer he got, very X-Files-like, in a way that the closer he got, the more he was starting to see black SUVs. Now, is that the paranoia? Is that something like, there's a lot of black SUVs. Mm-hmm. Like, if all of a sudden you thought you were being followed, we talked about gang stalking before. And it's people, you know, it's usually people with paranoia and stuff. They think they're being gang stalked. And all of a sudden, everything they see is someone stalking them or looking after them. So if you want to believe it's black SUVs, then you're going to see black SUVs. Mm-hmm. But the way his sister, if the book is to be believed, the way his sister was followed after driving out to some small town to do some research, mm-hmm. and that they were all like, you know, saw all like law enforcement, everybody was there. And so she walked into this restaurant where she saw like law enforcement and people from the black SUVs were all meeting up. She's like, oh, I'll just go in there. And they're just like, restaurant's closed. She's like, oh, I'm just going to use the restroom then. Bathroom's closed. Like, they could tell she was
really
onto something. So then they followed her all the way back home, like across state lines. Followed her like 3 hours back home. So
I'm a little disappointed that I've yet to be approached by a black SUV or a Men in Black. We've been doing this shit for over a year. I thought for sure by now.
Are we really uncovering anything here?
I mean, we're...
If anything, I'm less convinced.
We're shining a spotlight on some of this. I want one of those fucking nerds to come knock on my door.
Are we really doing the research? They're like, oh, you know, the people that are actually getting divorced over the fact that they believe in aliens and are pursuing them, fuck them. But Kyle and Dave...
We got a platform.
And a bottle of Beam. Those guys, they might unlock something.
I want
something.
One of those pasty bastards to come knock on the van door.
Keep an eye on those dipshits.
Oh, man.
Punch
a Man in Black right in his fucking face.
Well.
All right. Sorry.
That's going to get you in more trouble, Dave.
Beam's getting a hold of me.
Beam got a hold of me. Got caught in the beam. Dave's caught in the beam.
But no, I'm fascinated by that. Like,
but it's a good read as far as a book. 37th Parallel, Ben Mezrich. It's a good read if you're interested in the subject matter. Mm-hmm. So it's also like a well-written book for that. And it did lead me to go like, all right, look, of all the stuff we research and I call bullshit on, UFOs are like, nah, it's something's out there.
Of course.
But it's that people are getting close to it, and when they get close, they get shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what that movie that I couldn't make it through last night because I was drunk.
Oh, yeah. What'd you say? I'm going to unacknowledge this movie.
I was just... Well, the host is an old guy that's ripped. I don't trust old people with muscles.
That it is weird, right?
Like, what are you going to do with your old muscles?
Old muscles. Like, who are you, Jack LaLanne?
You're just going to get so many muscles that your brittle bones just crumble inside of your body.
That is weird.
Drink milk. You need strong bones. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we're referring to now is, I think we maybe mentioned it last episode. There's a new documentary on Netflix called Unacknowledged, and it's kind of a sequel. The dude's name is Stephen Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer. A couple years ago, he put out another movie called Sirius. I don't know if that made it to Netflix or whatever, but... old muscle rip dude. He's a retired doctor. He was a traumologist. That sounds made up.
A traumologist? Give it a go.
Traumatologist. Traumatologist. Not a traumologist. Traumatologist. Retired traumatologist. He's now, and this is fun too. I always like this word. He's now a ufologist. Not a UFOologist. Ufologist. UFO.
They're not UFOs.
Yeah, exactly. Ufologist.
Man, like the stuff you want to believe in, they make it real hard.
He founded the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Disclosure Project. His main objective, really, now in his retired second career. Is he's all about disclosure. He wants the government to just come out and be like, hey, yeah, UFOs do exist. And still, the official word via the government is like, we're not going to talk about it. But everybody else is like, dude, come on.
Well, that's addressed in this book. Like, what would happen if they were like, yeah, UFOs are real?
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody go to church? Nobody goes to church. Chaos breaks out. Like, I think about how the government already is terrible at controlling groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like now.
Mm-hmm. Like then, specific groups or just groups in general?
No, just in general. They're terrified of people assembling in protest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you take away, that's just like one issue usually, mm-hmm. protest, you know. Now you just tell people that aliens are real. What happens to the general populace? The same thing that when they think a threat on Earth is real. More guns.
Mm-hmm.
Need to blow them out of the sky. If you don't blow, they're a threat to the whole world. And I think the government's so afraid of people going ape shit that they're like, no, it'd be too much. It's too much of a thing.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But at the same time, it's almost insulting to our intelligence that you're not even going to acknowledge that it's. Mm-hmm. That's a possibility or a reality.
Maybe the aliens got nudie photos, all the politicians.
Maybe. That's probably what it is.
Like, oh, you want to tell them that we're real? Oops. Mike Pence's dick pic. Probably good with Photoshop.
Be a shame if something happened. But yeah.
That's so, what I was saying before. That's why I think aliens are some sort of, I think there's something tied into the human species.
What do you mean tied in?
Because whenever they talk about the grays and they're all still arms and legs and heads and eyes,
mm-hmm.
shuffling around like a person, like an alien, it could be anything.
Okay, I've
it
thought of that.
It could be an invisible gaseous.
Yeah, it could be a blob.
Be a gas. It could be a.
But why do they?
Instead of jam.
What? Why do
be
they
a
still
nice jam?
Why do they still have two eyes, a nose, two legs, two
yeah,
arms? Yeah,
exactly.
Much like a human. Well, does that? Does that lead into the theory that we've touched on before about maybe they are just a future version? They are humans evolved thousands of years into the future?
Which is maybe, again, why they can't let people know. Because then people are like, well, you got to tell us if you know the future, then you know how to stop. Like,
mm-hmm.
like the whole idea is that the only – that's, again, the same looped argument about time travel. Is if somebody does come back from the future, the only way they were able to come back – from the future as who they are is because nothing got tampered with. It's just the Back to the Future shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hear somebody's from the future, nobody's going to understand. They're going to be like, well, tell us how to stop
yeah.
murder. Tell us how peace on Earth comes. You know, like, give us the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there are no answers, and maybe it's so desolate, that's why everything looks like they live under rocks because there's no sun anymore.
Mm.
They're really pale, they, you know, fragile, kept alive by machinery creatures. And then the whole society's like, well, I don't want to live like that, so fuck it. We're going to party ourselves to death.
Yeah. The grays do look very sickly.
Yeah, they don't look like health. Yeah.
That's what happens for thousands of years of sitting in your apartment playing video games.
I gave them the spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other.
Well, this documentary, it's a good one. I've watched it a couple times. There's a lot of info in it. Some of it's over my head. But like I said, the main premise of it is just this Dr. Stephen Greer's struggle or search for disclosure, just wanting the government to come out and finally make some sort of official statement. And there's a lot of official quotes from like really higher ups from the government, whether it be the NSA or the CIA or, you know, different military branches. Air Chief Marshal Lord Dowding. I think he's a dude, and I think it's England's version.
Lord Dowding.
He's a Lord Dowding. He says, quote, of course the flying saucers are real, mm-hmm. and they are interplanetary. Victor Marchetti, who is the former special assistant to the executive director of the something. I can't quite make out my screen cap. He says, we have indeed been contacted, perhaps even visited by extraterrestrial beings and the U.S. government in collusion with the other national powers of the Earth. It is determined to keep this information from the general public. So, like, these really higher-ups are making, like, yeah. And there was some other dude, I didn't write this one down, but, like, they were talking about, they kind of start the documentary about Roswell.
Yeah.
Roswell, New Mexico, 1947. And they have people involved with that who are like, yeah, like, we saw actual aliens. We saw, they were describing what they looked like. 3 foot tall, no ears,
yeah.
Nose, two eyes. Like, we saw some dead ones, and we saw a few that were alive.
Well, the stuff that happened, when Roswell happened, like, the first news reports, like, oh, yeah, UFOs crashed. And 2 days later, like, no, it was all... All the stories got changed.
Of course.
No, it was weather balloons, all this. And they, like, the funeral director in town was contacted to find, like, hermetically sealed children's caskets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always little clues. Again, how much folklore are you going to believe around it? But some of that stuff's documented. Like, the news stories that came out were documented.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, this, yeah, they said this is a UFO.
Yeah.
And then the news stories quickly changed.
Yeah.
Like 48 hours later or so.
And within weeks of that Roswell incident, did you know this, that the Air Force broke off from the Army and became its own branch in the military within weeks. And then also the CIA was formed within weeks of Roswell. I didn't know that. But, like, based on this incident, it spawned the creation of both an independent Air Force. I think there was an Air Force that fell under the umbrella of the Army prior to that. But within weeks of Roswell, it became its own branch, and now a whole nother branch, a whole nother agency, the CIA.
Yeah.
But yeah, just case after case of, like, really higher up folks. They talked about, here's a quote from General Douglas MacArthur, 1955. The nations of the world will have to unite, for the next war will be an interplanetary war. The nations of the Earth must someday make a common front against an attack by people from other planets. So just all these just legendary higher up, whether it be military or political people, are like, yeah, this shit's legit.
Yeah. You know? I know that guy immediately thought it was going to be war.
Of course. Even Jimmy Carter. President Carter, quote, I am convinced that UFOs exist because I've seen one.
He's out in a peanut farm.
He's farming peanuts. Jimmy Carter saw a damn UFO. Quote, I've seen one.
Of course that Rube saw a UFO.
I like Jimmy Carter.
I don't know nothing about him.
Yeah. Building houses.
Doing good things for the world.
Still hangs out at Manuel's Tavern in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You go to Manuel's Tavern, you'll see Jimmy Carter hanging out drinking a beer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. He's a townie.
I take back what I said. You're all right, Jimmy.
But yeah, so I don't know. And
do we need to do to get investigated?
What do we need to do?
You got to drive the van through the fences at Bigelow Industries at Skinwalker Ranch,
mm-hmm. or Area 51.
Yeah,
go up there and. Be funny, you know. There's a lot of weird YouTube videos of people like going up to Area 51, and ooh, there's a black SUV.
Turn around.
It'd be funny to just see like a World Star Hip Hop video. Just some fist fight. Just some
World Star.
Just
no.
me and a couple of men in black just fist fighting on the side of a dirty road.
We see UFOs, but we only release it to World Star Hip Hop. That's where. We only put it up on Pornhub.
Oh, God. Pornhub.
Because everywhere else, they'll take it down. Maybe that's the porn industry that is the one that... Because all advancements come from war or pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Technological advancements.
That's true. Porn is always at the cutting edge of, you know, all the new tech stuff.
One's killing, one's fucking.
Do you remember, speaking of which...
I'm going to follow porn into the future, then, and when I will...
Speaking of which, do you remember, like, all right, when smartphones first came out?
Yeah.
What was that, like, 07, 08? The first time
the first iPhone I saw, I think, was, like, 2005 or 6.
Huh, okay.
So 6, I think.
First time my... I remember being... My mind was blown the first time... That's a bad choice of words... That my buddy was watching pornography on his phone.
Yeah.
And I was just like, ugh. Like, who needs porn on the go?
Yeah.
And then one day you find yourself.
And then you're like, oh, everybody.
And then one day you find yourself living in a van. You don't have any modern conveniences. And you still got to make do with what you got.
You got to work with what's around you.
You know?
And let's thank porn.
Mm-hmm.
for bringing that to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what if they develop technology just so people could watch fucking cum shot vids, and that's the technology that the brings us to the...
No thanks.
I know, some people just like a...
I got it.
You know, it's like the big ending to an action movie, but just all the endings together.
I don't need that.
I'm not justifying. I'm just trying to say why someone might like it. Well, for you, it's not the destination. It's the journey. Anyway, but that's it. They just come up with so much. Like, they stumble on time travel just because they're like trying to figure out more in-depth virtual reality. Pornography. Like, oh, fuck, we invented, you know, Brazzers invented time travel. That's probably, it could happen. They're working hard. It's the military, and it's NASA, and it's Van Nuys. Those are the... That's just at the forefront of technological development in this world.
Oh, man. Speaking of which, living out here, have you had this experience yet where you're out in public in Los Angeles and you're like, where have I seen that girl before?
Oh, yeah.
You've had that?
Yeah, and then you're kind of like, oh, you're a real person. That's weird. I feel bad for what I do.
That's weird.
It's weird, but then it's like, you know what? You do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe, like anything else, if it doesn't develop into an issue for someone, provide someone a little fantasy and a release to their life.
Release.
Well, full release.
Get it.
But hey, if you're happy with what you do, and you're, you know, I mean, would hope you're being safe and everything.
Mm-hmm. Who's that hurting?
Right on.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. There's a whole city full of people going, all right, this is not a traditional path to success or happiness. I mean, yeah, sure, there's a lot of fucked up reasons people get into porn. There's a lot of fucked up reasons people get into comedy, too.
True.
So. The whole thing, the one thing people just strive to do and you get paid for it, right on.
True. Get back into the issue real quick, to the topic at hand.
Yes, Brazzers base space travel.
Yes. What if, Kyle, what if some of the quote-unquote UFOs that are being seen by thousands of people nationwide and worldwide, what if they weren't from another planet? What if they were from our own government?
Well, that's in the 37th parallel. They address that the deltas, the triangles that people see, are most likely government blimps.
Mm-hmm.
Blimps.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the B-2 bombers and all these planes where it's just a wing, just a flat wing, like stuff that they've developed already.
Yeah.
That, yeah. Also maybe a mix between alien technologies and our own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it's the one that's...
Yeah, collaboration, so to speak.
Yeah.
Werner von Braun, he was, I believe he was a Nazi.
I couldn't make up a more German name.
Yeah, Werner von Braun, spelled with a W, but pronounced with a V, Werner. I think he was. He fell under the umbrella of the Project Blue Book. No, not Blue Book, I'm sorry. Project Paperclip.
Oh, yeah.
Which, if I remember correctly, was where they the U.S. pardoned some of the Nazis after the war and said, "Hey, we know you're a Nazi. And you did a bunch of you contributed a bunch of horrible shit, but you're super smart.
Now make horrible shit for us.
So come over here and use your powers on our side."
Yeah.
Also,
Hugo Boss. Fascinated by that one.
Really? Is he one of those?
I don't. If he wasn't a Nazi, he designed the Nazi uniforms.
Really?
Like he made the Nazis look like Nazis, and you could just still go buy his pants.
Huh. In Sopranos, the dipshit Jackie Jr., the one who got whacked for, I forgot why he got whacked, but anyway, he goes, he's telling Meadow, he's dating Meadow Soprano. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, maybe I want to drop out of college and just go to fashion school. You know, be like the next Hugo Boss. He's like a real douchey. New Jersey. Like, hey.
Which guy was that?
He was like season two or season three. Like young, like kind of buff, good looking. Like, you know, he was Jackie Senior's son. Jackie Senior was the first boss who died. And he was Jackie Jr. And he was dating Meadow. And he was going to Rutgers, but he dropped out. He's like, you know, maybe I just want to design men's suits. Be like the next Hugo Boss. It's just real douche. Anyway.
You gotta have a dream.
Wernher von Braun, on his deathbed, he told somebody that, hey, watch out for false threats. He kind of revealed that, he subtly revealed that, you know, not every UFO you see in the sky is an actual UFO. That he was actually working, he helped work on, designed domestic UFOs, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
For the U.S. government.
Well, everything was secret before it wasn't. I mean, nobody's flaunting their fucking new spy planes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody, get a load of this new jet fighter.
Yeah.
Top notch. Totally kicks ass. Like, it's all undercover. Like, I honestly, that's the heart of conspiracy theories. It's the iceberg's tip of what they're trying for us to not even see, to cover up how much is actually out there of, I mean, the military will go to no ends to just spend money and make shit to be dominant. Like, in spite of everything.
Well, and
spend
that was,
money and develop.
Well, and that was kind of the point, I think, what Wernher von Braun was talking about was a lot of it has to do with, like, funding, like government funding. Like, hey, we need more money for defense against this possible threat.
Oh, yeah.
So let's create a false threat to prove to the American public that it is now justified that we're spending this much money.
Oh, or let them see one of our sneaky things, but don't say it's ours.
Exactly, and be like, hey, we need more money to protect against that thing that we just created to trick you.
Well, isn't that the Alex Jones thing by trying to act like Sandy Hook was fake?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which I don't put it past the government to come up with some things like that.
Yeah.
I don't think Sandy Hook was fake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that. Alex Jones, like, that's he's just a crazy person.
What a goober. Like, did you see that video of him chasing down a guy in Seattle and getting up in his face?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was like a couple of weeks ago. There was some video. He chases, like, he's running, and he runs like just like a dim-witted 9-year-old, just limbs flailing.
He's shaped like a Mike Tyson's punch-out character.
And he gets in some guy's face, and then this other guy later comes up and throws coffee in his face. And, like, yeah, literally threw coffee in his face.
It's a sketch character that people believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even he had to admit that it was a character when he was trying to get custody of his kids.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that stuff? I'm not really that guy. I'm a good dad. Fucking what?
Did you see the one where about a year ago when he's talking about Hillary maniac. Where he just starts crying and screaming? And like he's crying like a spoiled baby. Like, she's got to kill your kids. And like just screaming.
It's a sketch character that's not comedy based. But anyway. Well, yeah. Hey, breaking news. Alex Jones is off his fucking tit.
Like, I have mixed feelings about him and InfoWars. Like, I'm glad that people like him exist. Like, I like the whistleblower concept of, like, we're watching everything. Like, I'm glad people are watching everything. But, man,
yeah,
just
but he's
tone,
wrong
it,
about all
tone
of
it down, dude. Yeah, and he's wrong
no,
about
No, he's
a lot.
Wrong about all the stuff.
Ugh, what an intense dude.
He's a fucking loony. That's my problem. There's no fun ones, like, I think it's the comedians wind up being on the left, the whistleblowers, and on the right, they wind up like Alex Jones. They're still all exaggerated characters.
Yeah.
Except the ones on the left are more, at least give you some entertainment. Alex Jones is entertaining, too.
Oh, he's entertaining.
It's scary when people believe it. Mm-hmm. It's also scary when people are like, I don't like it when people are like, comedians got it right. No, a comedian boiled things down to the most simplistic concept for a joke.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody's like, you're like, oh, George Carlin, that was the truth about it. I was like, no, he's a comedian. He said stuff to make you laugh. You can't really employ those concepts in the real world.
True.
They're oversimplified for entertainment's sake.
True. Yeah, don't take what we say with a grain of salt, please.
Yeah, I mean, I try to put some good messages in there. I try, fucking not lately. Yeah. Not last night. Oh, fuck. Well.
Do you remember any of your quote-unquote bits or riffs last night?
No, I was just, there was some guy I was like super high at the second show and not doing well. And I looked over and there's some guy with his sunglasses on inside with long hair with his knee up just smiling. And it just looked like the coolest dude in the world. I'm like, man, right when I think I'm cracking up, somebody just sends in my best friend Johnny, the coolest guy in high school. He's like, I got you, buddy. I'm like, fucking all right.
So this guy knows what I'm talking
about. I kept going on about eating two tacos instead of three tacos.
Mm, two.
And you know, it's too many tacos is four tacos. It made no sense.
Four tacos is not too many tacos.
I was like, you get three tacos. That's the best amount of tacos. I don't know why I was talking about this. And then I would ask somebody, I'm like, how many is too many tacos? I'm like 10. I'm like, no, it's four. The answer's four.
No.
Three's just enough. And then somebody in the back is like 100. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Well,
I was off my rails.
The variable is, are we talking soft shell or hard shell?
I wasn't talking about, I don't know.
I've been craving
this wasn't
crunchy.
Grounded in a real place.
Been craving crunchy tacos.
Man, I love mixing it up and just have. I said mixing it up, and I didn't mean to say it like that. Mm-hmm. I meant mixing.
Yeah,
but you know,
I get it.
Having a little variedad.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Spanish? Yeah, I like a crunchy taco. It's a fucking mess, but
like a crunchy taco, like a good one. Like I don't. I got no problem with a Del Taco crunchy taco, but like when you go to an actual Mexican restaurant, like I was talking about with the queso dip, it gets just get a good crunchy taco with a lot of that cheese, that shredded cheese on top. And
what if you took a tortilla?
Uh huh. Talk to me.
Hung it over a stick halfway through. You deep fry it, except for the part that's hanging over the stick.
Okay, hold on.
What's the biggest problem with crunchy tacos?
They shatter and go everywhere.
Uh-huh. That bottom part cracks right in half immediately.
Yes.
And all the bottom dumps out.
I see what you're saying.
What if you fry the tortilla and leave a little median strip, an equator of soft tortilla
on the bottom?
And that's where it bends.
Kyle, I got to say, that's 2 weeks in a row. You've come up with some great culinary advice.
I don't know if it would work. You know?
It's worth a shot.
You got a deep fryer.
I do.
I'll fuck around with this plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fuck around with it.
Hmm.
It's you know what? Once you get on a roll, so it's hard to stop. So I'm going to keep working. You know, keep trying to make you proud.
Pretty good advice. I like it. should we put a bow on this present?
Let's do it. We got a comic of the week.
Yeah, before we do that, I wasn't going to do a recipe today.
No
but
recipe?
You just inspired me. I got one I just pulled out of
my ass.
I'll
give you a recipe. You want to make a real steamed hot dog that's not steamed hot dog? You freeze the buns, refrigerate the hot dog, take it out, wrap it in a paper towel, microwave for 30 seconds. You put the hot dog in a frozen bun, microwave for 30 seconds. It tastes like a steamed hot dog. What a steamed bun. It's not a good recipe.
That's okay. The one I was going to say that I just pulled out of my ass, one of life's simple pleasures, talking about tortilla chips. And hot oil.
Tortillas.
Make your own homemade tortilla chips. You know, like I said, nothing better than going to the Mexican restaurant to get that basket of warm, salty, crispy, complimentary tortilla chips. All you got to do to make those at home is, even if you don't have a deep fryer, get you a Dutch oven or some sort of pot, like a big pot that you cook spaghetti in or whatever. Put a couple inches of oil in that. Turn that stove on to 370, or turn that eye on to 375. Let that preheat for about 10 minutes. Then you take you some corn tortillas, just a pack of corn tortillas.
Corn's where it's at.
Yeah, that pack of corn tortillas, and you quarter them. It's a circle. Mm-hmm. You quarter it, and you got a quarter of a yeah. You take those, fry those for about 2-3 minutes until they're nice and crispy and golden brown. And pull them out of the oil, toss a little salt in there, boom, homemade tortilla chips.
I like it when you can tell at a restaurant when they just fried them up for you.
Yes. That's one of life's great pleasures, just a good, simple – not mm-hmm. because even like the bag stuff is good that you get in the grocery store, but there's something about the fresh. Like, yeah. Oh, this just
maybe
came out.
A little bit chewy.
Yeah, chewy. Some of them are a little chewy, crispy, salty. Man, what's boom. Nice. All it is tortilla chips fried in oil, 375, couple minutes, toss them in some salt. Maybe, you know, if you want to throw something else on there, a little – red pepper flakes, some cilantro, whatever you want, but just
make it your own.
Oh God, good times.
Let's do comic of the week.
Comic of the week, your old pal
Mike Bridenstine.
Mike Bridenstine got a new album out.
He started a comedy right after I left Chicago. He started there. I just Googled him. His first hit is Mike Bridenstine on MySpace. Hey Mike, maybe you want to get somebody on your team to work with your Google results. Anyway, he's got an album out called Hungry Wolf Hunts Best. I haven't heard the album yet, but Mike's a hilarious dude, has been for a long, long time.
Is he out here?
He's out here. He does a lot of acting.
Really?
Nowadays. I haven't seen him on the stand-up circuit.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes back. He's an Iowa fella. He goes back there if you see Mike Bridenstine coming through Iowa. I don't know. I haven't kept up with him. I don't know what he's up to these days.
Hmm.
But... good dude, funny dude, once kicked down the door to his own house because he didn't have keys.
Really? Yeah. Kicked down the door?
Yeah. Mike Burns lived with him. He was only 10 minutes behind him, but uh-huh. he was drunk and he wanted to drink more, so he kicked his own door.
How about that?
So if that doesn't tell you to listen to his album, uh-huh. I don't know what will.
Yeah. New album just came out on A Special Thing Records. And yeah, what, like 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
that sucker came out. The Hungry Wolf Hunts Best, Mike Bridenstine, Comic of the Week. Anything to plug?
Well, if it's... what's today?
Today,
Tuesday,
as this comes out,
we need some of these goddamn...
it's the 12th.
Brazzers time travelers mm-hmm. to help us to sort out this...
September 12th.
Imagine that Brazzers invents time travel,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like...
is that how you pronounce that, by the way? I always see the ads, but I
haven't had a vocal compliment.
Don't get too weird.
But then they're like time travel, but then make porn from the different times.
Well, surely that's been done, right? Period piece porn?
But this is like with, like authentic.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, tonight's Tuesday, the 12th. I'm going to be at the Ready Room in St. Louis. And, I've been plugging this tour.
Hmm.
St. Louis tonight, Lexington tomorrow, Cleveland the night after that, Cincinnati, Columbus through a weekend. Come on out and see me on a tour. Say hello.
Nice.
How about yourself, Dave, the night of this night?
Nothing going on this night. Next weekend, I'm doing a three-day stint at Flappers in Burbank, California. 21st, 22nd, 23rd. You can catch me at Flappers doing headlining sets on the 22nd, 23rd, doing two sets each night. I think like a 7:30 and a 10, something like that. 22nd, 23rd, Flappers. Come see me do a long set, long-winded, rambling.
Go see Dave. Yeah, yeah, take him to Hooters for some for some wings after. Maybe go over to Bingo's Bonery right there.
Yeah, we do that. And then just a couple weeks from now, you and I both will be in Atlanta at the Red Clay Comedy Festival, our first ever live Boogie Monster recording on the 30th of September, 5:30 afternoon show at the Earl, great rock and roll venue right in East Atlanta Village. Uh-huh. The Earl, me, you, doing a live Boogie Monster with special guest Gilbert Lowen, Ryan Singer, and none other than Patterson Hood of the Drive-By Truckers. So, redclaycomedy.com to get those festival passes. Those are just festival passes holders only. No individual tickets as of yet.
But like we said, get the festival pass. It's a good festival.
Yep.
You're going to be in Atlanta. It's good. It's what you're going to want to do that weekend.
Exactly. And very soon we will be dropping our, for our patrons, Q&A episode coming out in just a few days. And then around the first of the month, we'll drop another Dave's Kitchen. That's patreon.com/boogiemonster. $4 a month. Get you the Q&A and the Dave's Kitchen episode every month. Hell of a deal if you ask me. So, yeah, get on that if you haven't already. And big, big thanks to those who have already gotten on that. Got a couple, you know, we're talking $4 a month. We got a few people went above and beyond doing like $10, $15 a month.
What are you doing?
I don't have their names in front of me, but next week I'll definitely give a personal thank you. But yeah, very, very cool.
I'm only putting in $4 worth of effort. So joke's on you, suckers.
I signed up not knowing. Like, it's like, well, I'll bump the numbers and I'll sign up. And then
going broke paying myself.
So yeah. That's it. Holla at your boys. We're on Twitter, all that other shit, and you know where to find us. And you know, whatever. Shut up.
Cutting you off.
The Boogie Monster. Thank you.